was the Catbirds with I'm Only You off the brand new album Catbirds Say Yeah. And right now, all the way from Massachusetts, I've got one of the members of the Catbirds himself, the legendary Chandler Travis. Chandler, how are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. You know, it's kind of funny. We're here in the 21st century and we're chatting on Skype. And one of the questions I was going to ask you was, what do you think of digital? But I don't know now. It took us like 20 minutes to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah, digital sucks. But other than that gigantic inhaling that it does, I kind of like it.
That's right. Well, it does make a lot of new things possible, that's for sure, including this interview. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
Well, me too.
First of all, I recently got tuned into your music and I love it. So my apologies for not knowing about you earlier, but you're certainly going to figure prominently on my playlists from now on.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you can't apologize for not finding out about stuff. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there.
Absolutely. Now, you've got a couple new albums out. The Catbirds with Catbirds Say Yeah, and the Chandler Travis Trio with This Is What Bears Look Like Underwater. And I got to quote something I read about the Catbirds. Decades of experience musically bludgeoning New England and parts beyond. I love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We write a lot of our own shit. Is it okay to say shit?
No, but that's okay.
All righty, I'm going to stop saying it then.
Okay. So you are based in New England. I read that in an earlier musical incarnation, Travis Shook and the Club Wow, you toured with George Carlin for a good chunk of his heyday. What was that experience like?
It was fun. It was great. We got to go all of, I think, every state except for Delaware and Alaska. Huh. No, I'm sorry, Delaware and Hawaii. I've since collected Delaware, but Hawaii is still missing. I don't know why I confuse Alaska and Hawaii. Does anyone else do that?
I do that.
Seems insane.
I do that because they're the two most recent additions, and it's not like they were just added, but I get those two mixed up too for that reason.
I think there's something terribly wrong with both of us.
I know the climates are different. I guess you would notice if you're in either one.
I think you probably would. Yeah, we were there, and we were in Alaska in February.
Oh, that's got to be cold. Oh yeah,
that was chilly.
Man. I also read that back in the day when you were with Travis Shook, Bruce Springsteen once opened up for you guys. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for 4 days, Bruce and the E Street Band. And he was very sweet. He was working hard. And, you know, all those guys were great. We used to see them a lot when they would come to Boston, when they first started coming to Boston.
Now, how did you get your start in music?
I don't know. I just kept getting tunes in my head and then I had to figure out some way to play them and all that. I don't know. I don't know how I got my start. High school bands, I guess. Yeah, that would be it. High school bands.
And that's how you put a musical career together. Just keep going with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't stop.
Yeah. Now, who would you consider among your greatest musical influences?
Well, Lennon and McCartney and the Kinks and Brian Wilson and The Who and, all the great soul people and Stax people and Ray Charles and Duke Ellington and hell, I don't know. I could give you a shorter list of people that aren't my influences.
Wow. And the funny thing is, I only have those two new albums of yours, and I heard a lot of all of that in each of them. And it's funny because I realize that if I go through my rather large music collection, if I start dropping my CDs into bins labeled by genre, like rock, country, jazz, blues, Americana, I could do that for a lot of my CDs, but when I get to your music, I can't decide which bin to drop your CD in. Just, it's a tough decision.
Good. Well, that's a good sign. You know, you try really hard to do something that no one's done before. You know what I mean? Something that's difficult to describe, you know, but then of course, once you're done, once you find something that you like, then that's the first thing you're asked to do is describe it. So
yeah.
It's kind of a problem.
And labels are a really tricky thing. I mean, you might have your own genre, I'm thinking.
Well, we try to. I mean, the Philharmonic was the funniest one because we used to try and get, get asked, well, what the hell is that? And so we came up with Alternative Dixieland at first. And then it was, Omnipop. We always felt like we were definitely Omnipop, which is a word I first heard from Terry Adams of NRBQ, who also is another huge influence. And then the latest one we ended up with was Gospel Music for Atheists.
I like that.
Also, we got a little handle for the trio music, which is chamber pot music.
I've heard that one before. That could work, yeah.
Chamber pot, P-O-T?
Oh, chamber pots. No, I have not heard that various incarnation.
Chamber pot.
Chamber pot music. Nice. Funny. So what are all the bands that you're currently involved with? It looks like you've got several things going right now.
Well, I got the Incredible Casuals, which is my oldest band. They've been around for more than 30 years. And then the Philharmonic, and they've been around for about 15 years or so. And then I have two new bands, which is the Chandler Travis Trio and the Catbirds.
Very good. So juggling four things at once, and it looks like they're all touring. I checked your website, and it looks like you could see any one of them sometime this summer.
This is true.
So I'm really enjoying your 3-0 debut, This Is What Bears Look Like Underwater. Lots of great lyrics, lots of great instrumentals on that. And it seems like it's kind of a nice split between instrumentals and then songs with words.
I love the instrumentals on there. I really like some of that stuff, you know.
I do too. It sounds really, really good.
Seems to me like that's the core of the album. It's not, you know, because people, a lot of times, you know, guys will put on instrumentals and those would sort of be the snoozers, you know what I'm saying? Those would be sort of time fillers, but I don't feel that way at all about the 3-0 record. To me, that's the core of what that album's about.
And those are good. I find that those are really good to listen to in headphones because then you pick up all the nuances.
I don't listen to stuff in headphones much, but maybe I should, but maybe not. Well, you know what happens is when you're done with an album, you know, you've just spent a year on it and you've heard it way, 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 way too much. So it's usually good to just not hear anything for a little while afterwards.
Interesting. Interesting. Just go out and just play the stuff live.
Yeah. First you hear it and you've just been working on it. So every time you hear it, you hear whatever seemed wrong with it that day.
Oh.
You know, and you get so psychotic about it. You know, sometimes you go, oh my God, it's all terrible. And then every now and then you'll get a grace note where you get to hear your record and it suddenly sounds good to you for some reason. It's a manic depressive experience.
So you'll need a little distance before you can really appreciate your
work. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So what was the motivation and inspiration for putting that album together?
Well, we've been doing gigs. That was, you're talking about the 3-0 now, right?
Yes.
The 3-0 was, came about because I had this band that was 10 pieces that couldn't fit anywhere.
Oh.
You know, there were, it's still difficult because there's so many clubs that just don't have room. You know, we play all these tiny little clubs. So I got requests from different people about, you know, can you come in and do like something solo or with a person or two? And eventually I got a request from somebody I really liked. And then so I said, so we just put something together for that gig. And then it turned out that there were a lot of people that wanted something like that.
Ah.
And it turned out to be something that was interesting creatively, you know, to try and somehow do all the things that we've been doing with 9 people and distill that down to a 3-person version. And now it's gone way beyond that. I mean, we feel like we can play pretty much anything that the big band does, a lot of things that they can't.
Kind of a compact touring unit.
Yes. And that's also something because, I mean, you know, it's crazy to, I mean, getting 9 guys all over the country is difficult. We've done it. We've been to New Orleans 4 or 5 times in the Midwest, but it's a workout. I'm telling you.
I could imagine. So conversely, would the songs on the 3-0 album, would they translate to the big band?
Some of them do and some of them don't. The 3-0 is kind of a more theatrical and frequently raucous experience, you know? I mean, I'm sorry, not the 3-0. I'm sorry. The Philharmonic is.
Okay.
The big band. Big band is like costumes and, you know, all over the place.
Wow.
And the 3-0 can be a lot quieter. You know, there's no discipline with my songwriting at all. You know, I write what I write and then hopefully I find some bunch of idiots that can do the damn things. And I've been very fortunate in finding the right idiots. I always want to make sure that people understand the geniuses I'm playing with. I mean, you know, I play with the greatest drummer in the world, Ricky Bates. And, you know, everyone else in the band is also right up there. You know, I've got a great bass player in John Clark, and it's certainly not a solo thing going on here. You know, the guys in the Catbirds are amazing. Steve Wood, you know, so just want to mention everybody else's work here. You know?
I found this about 20-minute long video of you guys playing, and it was phenomenal. And I did notice Ricky's drumming. That was just incredible. She's definitely up there with any of the best I've heard.
It's a very rare musician that hears Ricky and doesn't go crazy. You know?
Absolutely. Now, this sounds like a dumb question, but I know it's actually a good one. How many people?
How do you know?
Oh, let me try. How many people are in the 3-0?
Well, 4. There's always 4 people in any 3-0. What would a 3-0 be with only 3 people? That would be the Chandler Travis 3.
Ah.
That would make sense. But O is very important.
You get take it to that next level. It's one louder.
Take it to that next level. You got to have some O.
That's right. So what was the production process like for the 3-0 album? How'd that all go?
Let me see. The production. Did we produce that? We must have. Well, I don't know. We were hanging around in dank basements. Both those albums, the Catbirds album and the 3-0 album, are all basement affairs pretty much. A lot of it was recorded by Ducky Carlisle at a place called Ice Station Zebra, which is the basement of his house.
Ah.
But I mean, it's all home stuff, basically. But I mean, Ducky's a real guy. I mean, Ducky's a wonderful engineer. And I'm a crap engineer, but I do just the little things. I do the vocals and guitars and stuff like that. So you don't have to be too good for that.
Gotcha. How long did it take to put the whole thing together?
Both of them took about a year. I think the 3-0 actually, you know, roughly a year. The Catbirds, a lot of the Catbirds was done in 2 days. You know, we went in and recorded, geez, I think it was like 22 songs, like a really ridiculous amount of songs. It was just a couple of days, and then we did some overdubbing and we had to wait for time to get back into the studio. So I think as far as actual time spent in the studio, it was probably 2 weeks, but it was spread over, you know, a year and a half or something.
Sounds like you guys are really quick in the studio. It sounds like that part just goes like lightning, like you just pound it out.
Usually it does go pretty quick. Yeah, it's just a matter of buckling down because we do a lot of work, you know. I mean, we did 150 160 dates last year or something like that, with, you know, spread out among all the bands. Of course, for every date you do, you have to be on the phone for another whole day at least for getting the damn dates and promoting them and all that stuff, you know.
So that's
a nightmare, I'm telling you. Don't go into show business, kids.
That's the non-glamorous part that the audience doesn't get to see.
Yeah, you know, the actual playing is, that's 5% of what you do, of the time you spend.
I'm here with Chandler Travis. We're chatting about his new albums, Catbird Say Yeah, and the Chandler Travis 3-0, This Is What Bears Look Like Underwater. Why don't we take a quick break and listen to one of your 3-0 songs, Chandler?
Your funeral.
well, I guess I'll call it. I'll call this one. How about Make the Small Things Pretty?
Oh, you know what? We've been using that one a lot. You go ahead. Give that one a try.
Okay, here we go. Chandler Travis 3-0 and Make the Small Things Pretty.
Stop falling down. Road turns to mud, barely still a road, at least it goes away. Hats never off, faded banners mark lost time going round and round. The glare's the ground, she doesn't cower, and she's never been afraid. Oh, how she likes. Let the big things slide. How nice. All covered up, make the small things pretty, yeah. Inside, outside, inside. Do they know all those busy bodies making everything such bother? She gets so mad, it saddens her when no one seems to right their wrongs. Can't look away, she only looks closer so it looks like water. Put things away, she feels better when it's all where it belongs. She likes to keep it all inside. How nice. All covered up, make the small things pretty, yeah. Look away, look away, look away. catch her fancy. Distracted, no, she never falls for whistles or bells. Nothing can tempt, she shrugs off kisses, wine and candy. She knows her mind, keeps to herself, there's no one that she needs to tell.
Chandler Travis Trio with Make the Small Things Pretty, and I love that song, Chandler. Just an amazing sound to it.
Thank you. It's got a great lyric, too, by David Greenberger. Usually when there's a really interesting lyric on my record and it's got images and stuff like that, that's what he's so wonderful at, but I'm not.
Now, I'm sure you get this all the time, but I hear some similarity between your music and that of NRBQ, both in the ballads with the Trio, and then the All Out Rockers sound like stuff that the Q would play on stage as well.
Good. I love NRBQ. I mean, I don't think anyone's influenced me more than that band in general, and Terry Adams probably in particular, who's an amazing performer and great writer and best keyboard player I ever heard.
Yeah, and no two shows the same with those guys.
There you go. That's important, too.
And wasn't Johnny Spompanato in one of your bands?
Johnny's in The Incredible Casual.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Catbirds. It seems like that's mostly different personnel. So how did that group come together?
Well, actually, the Catbirds is Ricky Bates on drums from the Philharmonic and the Casuals. And Dinty Child, who plays with the Philharmonic on mandocello and guitar, etc. So some of the same guys. And then the other guy is Steve Wood, who's an amazing local Cape Cod guy who's just an encyclopedia on how to actually rock.
Wow.
The Catbirds feeds my need to blast, you know? Still fun, man. I still just love making a racket.
Wow. I can't believe that we're close to the end of the interview. This has been just an incredibly fast 25, 30 minutes. Where can my listeners find out more about you and your music and how to purchase some of it?
I thought you'd never ask. they could go on the worldwide interweb to www, of all things,
yes,
ChandlerTravis.com. And or alternately, if they just want to know about the Catbirds, they could go to thecatbirds.net.
So what's your gig and touring plans look like?
In the summers, we tend to, I live on Cape Cod, which is sort of a resort area. I don't know if you know Cape Cod.
I know of it for sure, yeah.
So we just work our asses off right through July and August and don't really have much time to go anywhere. Although we'll still do some New York and some Pennsylvania and we'll get out a little bit. But generally speaking, we get pretty much socked in for July and August. And that's when we try to make enough money to get through the rest of the year.
There you go. Last but not least, this is my totally wacky off-base question. What's your favorite food?
Well, bacon's right up there.
All right.
And nuts. I like Fritos. There's so much. There's so much, so much to eat, so little time.
Exactly. So just like me, you're a health food nut, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, as long as it's harmful, I'll give it a shot. my wife thinks that she wants my tombstone to read, "He loved old food." I do like the science experiments that happen in the fridge, My feeling is just because something is a different color and smells different, doesn't mean that it's inedible. It just means that it's evolving.
Perfect.
Blue isn't necessarily a bad color. It's just one we're not that familiar with.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you have an open-minded approach to food as well as music. I've been here enjoying this conversation immensely with Chandler Travis of the Chandler Travis Trio and the Catbirds and the Orchestra and many, many other bands. Chandler, thank you so much. It's been a blast.
Thanks for, I appreciate your patience.
And likewise. And we're going to go out playing one off the Chandler Travis Trio, The Person You Deserve. Thanks, Chandler.
Thank you, man.
I wish I could be the person you deserve. I wish I had the focus. I wish I had the nerve. I
Wish I was good, wish I was kind, wish I wasn't deaf, dumb, and blind. I wish I could be the person you deserve. I wish I could make you happy for a change. To make one measly girl kinda feel okay, really ought to be within my range. Wish I didn't lie, wish I didn't cheat. I wish I was handsome and smart and sweet. I wish I could make you happy for a change. Those movies where the girl comes in, bedrooms filled with candles, well, finding them, lighting them, and keeping them lit, it's probably one more than I could handle. I wish I could be the man you really need. I wish you came with directions, or there was something I could read. I wish I'd never make you blue, and I wish just once I knew what to do. I wish I could be the man you really need. I wish I could be the person you deserve. I wish I could put my foot on the brakes before I start to swerve. I wish I wasn't a lazy bum, and I wish I could stay here under your thumb. I wish I could be the person you deserve.